Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.
Let's catch up with Paul, also known as The Esk. Presents Everton Business Matters, and you'll have seen him on social media as well. He was there last night. Morning to you, Paul. I was going to say evening. Morning.
Seemed like evening already.
Did it? Well, of course, it addressed loads of footballing issues and financial issues as well. So do we just split the line down the middle and start with one or the other? Financially, what did Robert Elston and Farhad Moshiri, what sort of colours or pictures did they paint for you of Everton Football Club?
Okay, Robert obviously reported on the accounts, and we reported that, as a number of people already knew, that turnover was a record amount of turnover, and that was pretty much as a function of the increased TV revenues from the new TV deal, which started in season 2016-17. I suppose the disappointing news in that respect was that there was no significant growth in commercial revenue, which is, you know, something that Everton lag behind certainly the biggest six teams in the Premier League, and increasingly behind some of the sort of more mid-table teams as well. So there wasn't a huge amount in that information to get tremendously excited about. The club is profitable, but it was profitable because of the higher TV revenues, and also because of the profits from John Stone's sale. In particular, I suppose the most exciting thing about the accounts that that Robert had to talk about was the fact that Farhad Moshiri had put £105 million into the club up to 31st of May, which was the end of their financial year. And then since then, he's put another £45 million in. So that was pretty much the report and accounts. Robert gave some projections about next year's or this year's revenues, which sort of grow a little bit, but again, nothing hugely spectacular, I think.
So Farhad Moshiri has invested £150 million into Everton so far. Would that meet your expectations of when he arrived?
Well, that's a very good question. I think so. Yeah, probably more so than I might have expected, to be honest. And you know, it's clear what he's done. He's removed all the debt, and then he's provided, one of the slides that Robert showed last night, is over 100 million of that 150 million has actually gone towards player purchases. So, I think in cash terms, he's certainly provided what might have been expected. You know, on the footballing side, there's probably an argument about whether that money's been spent wisely or not, but that's, you know, obviously not necessarily Farhad's responsibility if it hasn't been.
But to have a club without debt is obviously a major thing, isn't it? And it was always a big worry on Evertonians' minds.
Definitely. And, you know, going on to the other big news item of the evening was to talk about the progress on the stadium. None of that progress would have been possible if all of the debt hadn't been cleared first. So, as I think Moshiri said in an interview at the end of last year, you know, the first thing in technical terms for him to do was to clear the balance sheet, which is, as you say, Steve, make sure that the club had no external debt.
You were hoping that last night you might see some images of something that would be built at Bramley Moor, but still that seems a little bit further away. Was that a disappointment, Paul?
Not to see any images at all. What was a disappointment, I have to be frank. I think you know, what Dan Mice said was interesting, and he showed his passion for the project, and he showed I think he gets Everton, and I think he gets Evertonians, and he certainly gets you know, what Goodison means in terms of being an old, as he said, an old iconic stadium, full of atmosphere, you know, with the characteristics that we've talked about previously, being, you know, stands being close to the pitch and stuff. So I think he understands Everton, and I believe from you know, the concept work that he's done and the work that he's delivered to the club, although they didn't show it, that's now reflected in some of the concepts for the stadium going forward. Robert talked a little bit about the fact that there now needs to be further consultation with the fans. So I think, you know, being totally objective, we're probably not as far on as we thought we might have been had been having this conversation 12 months ago. Because I think by this stage, it was hoped that the designs would be available and would be pretty close to planning permission, but we're not near that stage yet. And in fact, the news that came out of last night was that 2018, rather than seeing work perhaps starting on the stadium at the end of the year or by the end of the year, that isn't going to happen. This year is going to be dominated by two things: that ensuring putting the planning application in and making sure that that works.
It's impossible to look at sort of time frames, isn't it, to actually understand a correct time frame for this?
To be honest, I think they were pretty clear last night. So 2018 is planning permission and making sure the financing is sorted out, and I'll talk about the financing in a second. And then they're projecting a three-year build program. So end of this year would be 2019. So you would hope that the stadium would be built by the beginning of 2022. But obviously, you can't go into a stadium halfway through a season. So even if this stadium is built by the 1st of January 2022, you know, we wouldn't play our first Premier League game until the August of the 22-23 season, which is why we're now seeing, you know, a 12-month lag from previous projections. It doesn't necessarily mean that the whole project is 12 months late. It just means that our first game is going to be 12 months later than we thought. The most interesting thing was the revelation that far from just being a guarantor, which, you know, you and I have spoken about before, yeah. Liverpool City Council, through Joe Anderson's announcement, now look to be the principal funders of the stadium. Bill Kenwright informed everybody that the stadium costs were now in excess of £500 million, which is a big leap from the £300 million that was projected a year ago. But the really big significant news and the reasons for it is that the City Council are going to be the providers of at least two-thirds of the finance. And Joe Anderson was very, very clear as to, you know, why would the City Council want to do that? Well, the reason why they want to do that is that they see the stadium as the sort of cornerstone of the development of the Northern Docks and of the regeneration of the wider North Liverpool area. So they see it as an investment in the future of Liverpool, and as a result of that investment, which obviously Everton would pay back over many years, that there would be, I think he said, up to £1 billion worth of other investment brought in. There would be 10,000 jobs, and it would lead to, you know, the regeneration of an area that's desperately in need of that, and it would obviously kickstart the Liverpool Waters project. So he was very clear that this was an investment, first of all, that benefited the City Council, but also made a lot of sense for Everton Football Club. And that, you know, if you're looking for one headline in terms of finances or the stadium from last night, that was the key piece of news, that the City Council will provide two-thirds of the finance and Everton will go and find the other third, which is probably up to £200 million from other sources. And those other sources would possibly be a bank. It may be Mr. Mashiri putting more money into the club. That wasn't discussed last night.
And to be very clear on that, that's a loan, isn't it? The City Council are not wanting to own the stadium.
That would be a loan that would be repaid over. The term wasn't disclosed, but, you know, it's going to be somewhere between 25 and 40 years, I would guess.
Okay. So we've got timescales. We just haven't got the pitches, but it sounds like you left quite confident in terms of, and the stadium obviously is the biggest conversation amongst the fans at the moment. It sounds like you left quite confident and comfortable that things would reach an expected target with it all. Is there one slight concern that we've seen the cost rise by £200 million in a year, that within the next 4 years, that this £500 million cost isn't going to be realistic by that point?
Well, I think to begin with, I think the £300 million cost that was put out last year was probably, you know, a gross underestimate of the cost. So from my own personal perspective, the £500 million is not necessarily a surprise. I wrote about it on my own blog over a month ago, that costs were going to increase to that level. Part of that is a reflection of the technical difficulties in terms of turning an old dock into a piece of land that you can build a stadium on. Part of it is inflationary pressures within the construction industry because of Brexit. And I suspect, as I said to you a couple of days ago, it's also a reflection of the stadium possibly being of higher specification than previously thought.
On the playing front, obviously we've mentioned the money that's been put in, and he talked a little bit about Romelu Lukaku when he came out with this bizarre story about Lukaku's mind being changed by his mum receiving a voodoo message. How did that go down at the time, Paul?
Well, the evening got a little bit weird, to be honest, because it was like one of those conversations that you might have in a pub, you know, where somebody's just chatting about, well, actually, this is really what happened, as against what you might expect a company or a corporation to actually put out in the public domain. So I think he went a little bit off-piste, and there were one or two people on the stage, and certainly one or two people in the audience. So they're looking at each other, wondering where exactly is this going, because it's not. It was how can I be polite? I think it was somewhat indiscreet, and perhaps it demonstrated, if I dare say it, about somebody such as Ms. Sherry, a lack of understanding and a lack of experience in terms of talking in public about actually what had happened and what had happened. Mm. I suppose you can praise him for his honesty and for his candor, but I think it possibly raises one or two questions about how well briefed he is, and perhaps going back to a previous point that we've often made on Everton business matters, how well communications are run from the club.
Because absolutely,
I don't think other organizations would have either possibly somebody might have stepped in or would have briefed beforehand to say, under no certain terms are we going to talk about actually what did happen to Lukaku. The corporate line is blah, blah, blah. And that's what we're sticking to, isn't it, Mr. Farhad? But that obviously didn't happen, or if it did happen, he chose to ignore it. Yeah? I think he got very enthusiastic because, apart from Robert's piece about the finances, it was quite an enthusiastic evening, and it was a sort of a recognition that the club hasn't performed well on the pitch, but there was a slightly slightly strange upbeat feel about the evening as well. So it was one of those weird occasions. Had it been a party, it would have been like a great party.
It was positive overall. Paul, really appreciate you filling us in on it. Thank you.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.